Welcome to the ZBA meeting, April 14th, 2026. The time is 6:30 p.m.
That's okay. Good evening. Today is April 14th. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment. For those of you who are not familiar with our procedures, we have the applicants present their case. This is a public hearing, and everyone can speak. The meeting is open. The applicant presents their case. The board will ask questions of the applicant. When the board is done with asking questions, then we ask for the public to comment. First, we have those who are in favor. Then we have those who are against. We do the same thing for anyone who's on Zoom. We ask people who are speaking in favor to speak first. People who are speaking against the process to speak. Then the meeting would be closed. Once the meeting is closed, there's no more discussion. The board will deliberate, and the board will approve it with conditions, deny it, and we give specific reasons for the denial. Anyone who is affected by this decision has the right to appeal it. If you wish to appeal, you must act within 30 days of the hearing. The motion for a hearing shall be in writing and must set forth all the grounds on which you base your appeal as per RSA 677. We start with the press. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay, Boyd reminded me. We forgot to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Attendance, Bill Kina.
Here.
Ron Howe.
Here.
Boyd Shivers.
Here.
Judith Slott, here. Tony Steinmetz.
Here.
Gail Pellegrino.
Here.
Ms. Pellegrino is our alternate. She sits at the board with us. She will ask questions, but when the voting time comes, she does not vote. It's our way of helping our alternates learn the process, and so that at the time when they become part of the board, they've had experience in working in the board. We also have our building inspector here, Mr. Lavoie. So if we have any questions of Rich, he's also has permission to speak. We ask you, please, if you wish to speak, please, there's a pad of paper. Megan, I don't know if you can show them where it is. We just ask if you write your name and put down your address. It's only because it helps us to make sure that we spell your name correctly when we do the minutes. So if you would be so kind as to do that, we would really appreciate it. And I don't know if there's anything else I left out.
No, yeah. I'm glad to see such good participation from the town. It's always a pleasure to see our fellow community members here. So thank you guys for taking an interest.
Okay, so we need the applicant to present their case, and I'm assuming you are you the applicant representing the applicant?
Representing the applicant.
Okay, would you state your name and spell it for us, please?
Yes, it is Caroline Paluccia, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, last name is P-A-L-U-C-H-A.
Okay. Do you like me to pull say, this?
Would you? Sure.
Yeah, it's
P-A-L-U-C-H-A.
C-H-A.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Yes. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Caroline Paluccia. I'm from McLean Middleton, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Granite Hill Materials and Recycling, LLC, and Believe Freetown, LLC. Believe Freetown is the owner of the subject parcels that we'll be discussing today, and Granite Hill Materials is the operator and co-applicant. Also present here today are, on behalf of the applicant, are Jeff Hill. I'm not sure if Jerry was able to make it.
No.
Jerry's not here today, but we also have Terry Granmont. We also have here today Christopher Berry, the project engineer, and my colleague as well, attorney Sabrina Bevins. So we're here today requesting a variance from Article 5, Section 5.01, A1, Sand, Gravel, and Burrow Excavating Operations, Article 5, Section 5.02, Table of Use Regulations, and any other potentially applicable provisions of the Candia Zoning Ordinance in connection with the proposed reclamation activities pursuant to RSA 155E5 on Map 407, Lots 66 and 71, which are both located within the town's residential district. Before I hand it off to Chris Berry to provide some technical background on the proposed use, I do want to provide some history on the proposed use, some background on the property, and a brief description of what we're proposing here. So for history of the proposed use, the applicant actually engaged in discussions with the Board of Selectmen back in 2019 regarding rectifying the disturbed conditions of the property that were caused by excavation activities performed by prior property owners, which were done not in compliance with excavation rules and regulations. As a result of those early discussions with the Board of Selectmen, the applicant was asked to prepare a reclamation plan and to obtain a variance for the excavation that would be conducted in connection with the reclamation use. The applicant did obtain that variance from the ZBA in 2021, and as part of the approval, the ZBA imposed conditions, including that there would be no processing of materials in the town of Candia and that Island Road would not be used as an access route. However, due to permitting delays associated with coordinating the alteration of terrain permit, the applicant was unable to begin those excavation activities prior to expiration of the variance. But the applicant is now here before you today, having received its alteration of terrain permit, and I did send copies to Megan last week. I did bring some spares if somebody didn't have an opportunity to review those before tonight's hearing.
What is that?
This is a copy of the alteration of terrain permit. It's front and back. The proposal before the board today is materially the same proposal that was before the board in 2021. The purpose of our request today is simply to reestablish that authorization that the applicant received in 2021 prior to the lapse of the extension periods due to permitting delays. A bit about the property. Combined, the property is about 73.14 acres. About 44.5 of those acres are Lot 66, and about 28.64 of those acres are from Lot 71. There are three natural wetland systems on the property, the most prominent being at the front of the property along New Hampshire Route 27 or Raymond Road, and that receives runoff from the hillside on the property. There's also a natural runoff channel that bisects the property and flows downslope towards that larger wetland area. And the last wetland system is on the eastern border of Lot 71, adjacent to the Candia-Raymond town line, and that one drains towards the east. So excavation activity has occurred on the property at least since 1991 as part of a grandfathered gravel pit. And in 1992, that same previous property owner submitted a reclamation plan, which was approved by the Board of Selectmen, but it doesn't appear that that plan was ever implemented. In 1997, the property was purchased by a new owner who actually expanded that grandfathered use, which was previously contained on Lot 66. They expanded it to also include portions of Lot 71. And in the early 2000s, an AOT permit process was initiated to address stormwater management and erosion control. However, again, it seems like those plans were never actually realized. And a quick overview of the proposed use before I hand it off to Chris Berry. What we're proposing here is simply to reclamation use to facilitate the future development of the property by addressing the existing deteriorated conditions of the property that are a result of those prior excavation activities. The proposed use will require limited rock excavation, removal, and blasting activities in accordance with RSA 155E5. The activities will occur within a limited portion of the property, approximately 20 of those 73 acres. Existing ledge faces will be reclaimed and stabilized. The existing slopes will be flattened to a ratio of about 1.5 to 1 in conformance with DES rules. And the applicant will actually develop a floor to the existing excavation areas that do not currently have a defined floor. And that slope is planned to vary from about 2.5 to 15%. And after final shaping, those flattened slopes will be loamed and seeded to allow for vegetation and the reduction of sediment transport. What we're proposing is to bring the property into compliance with DES requirements for excavation, stormwater management, and erosion control best practices. And ultimately, the proposal will remove existing safety hazards, improve environmental conditions, and harmonize the property with the surrounding character of the area. And so now I'll introduce Chris Berry, who's brought the lovely reclamation plan to share with you.
Good evening again. Christopher Berry with Berry Surveying and Engineering. Just want to sort of refresh the board's mind on the variance that we received prior on this property. The request has not changed one bit. As Caroline pointed out, the reason for the delay was receiving the alteration of terrain permit, but it wasn't alteration of terrain that created the issues for us. It was the fish and game process that we had to go through on this property to receive our alteration of terrain permit. The actual alteration of terrain comments were pretty light from the initial design, and we've now satisfied both fish and game and alteration of terrain and have both of those in hand to move forward.
Could I just ask you to walk through that timeline a little bit?
Oh, like, boy. Yeah.
I mean, how long was fish and game, you know,
forever.
We got this thing in?
So yeah, we filed our alteration of terrain permit in 2020. And so at that time frame, there was no process that we really went through with fish and game. You communicated with a staff member. They communicated back, and they may have had a comment or two. Those comments then went to alteration of terrain, and you received your permit. In 2021-ish, 2022-ish, they created a wildlife application process where a specialized wildlife biologist would have to prepare a report that would go to fish and game, and they thought that was going to solve all their problems. All that did was create miles and miles of reports that nobody had the ability to review. All of the consultants then squawked about that process, and they then created what we know as a FIS process, where there were dedicated members of Fish and Game that would actually monitor the application process through to the end, and they would issue you recommendations moving forward. Since that time, that process has now switched over to DES, and it's done cohesively with the various DES departments. So your fish and game application is moved along at the same pace as your other DES applications. Now, the last time we requested a continuance, I think we printed off miles of email chains between us, our wildlife consultants, and various members of fish and game. Some members would come and go. Once there was a new process created, we had to reinitiate the process. We then had to engage certain individuals that were qualified for certain species. And most notably, the black racer was sort of noted as the species of concern on this site. And so we had to hire a specialist off from an unknown list of humans that are specialized in studying the black racer to the satisfaction of DES, to the satisfaction of fish and game.
Okay, so to summarize, you were stating, and tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm hearing this wrong, because I think this is important for future findings of fact, which we're responsible for on this board. You're saying that the requester, after receiving a variance, began working on permitting in 2000?
Yes. No, I'm 2020.
2020, and that the Fish and Game delay has been the longest delay,
yes,
right? But then there's a parallel process with DES, and so you literally have spent 6 years without having a, pursuing a permit, following everything reasonable, I would hope you would attest, right? And not getting a permit. That's what's going on.
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to, I mean, I don't know if anybody wants to verify that, but.
Hold on, we know.
Okay, so you're the board. I'm newer to the board, so, okay, great.
Did you ever find any endangered species or anything else?
There's plenty of black races around from what I see.
So I have a standard joke with, at these meetings.
I bet
these,
you do.
If these things are so endangered, why are they on all of my sites? So we did find, during some of our studies, I can't disclose where it is, just yeah, through the state and federal law, but we did find a hibernaculum where one of these may have checked into an Airbnb, you know, at some point during last year, and so that's sort of what raised some of the issues with Fish and Game. So they're transient animals, and they travel all around. So there's a good chance that we may never see them again on our site, but we have to make sure that we're not doing anything to damage their habitat while they're there.
So am I correct in understanding that you're only here tonight because the 2 years that we granted, when we granted the variance the last time, that you couldn't do anything to arrange within that 2 year period, and that's why you're back?
That's correct. So to give you more detail on that, the studies for the Black Racer can only be done in a short window period in the spring and in the fall. You need a permit from Fish and Game to conduct that study. If you don't file your permit in time, because they have 30 days to review your permit to then do the study, you could completely miss the window. If you do, this happened to us multiple times, if you do the study and you find no evidence of the species, that doesn't mean that Fish and Game decides that, okay, there's no species of concern here, you can move along with your project. It means that maybe we want you to study it next fall. We weren't finding out that we needed to study these things that next fall until late in the season. We then have to rush and file a permit. Then we have to actually conduct the study, and then we have to work through the study findings with Fish and Game. And so I think there's been three studies on site, attempts at more, and that whole process, just the study cycle alone, has taken almost 2 years of our life.
Now, did you do anything to the site in that two-year period?
No.
So everything is basically the same tonight as it was
yes.
in 2000?
Yeah, 2020.
2020,
okay, yeah. 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And have any state laws changed since then to
only
relax
the
standards?
Not state laws that I know of, only the policies and practices in the Fish and Game Review.
Okay, but nothing that is related to what our board has jurisdiction over?
No, sir.
155E is still the same?
Same exact rules.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question about your ultimate plan for the site.
Yes, sir.
You say you just want to reclaim it, or do you want to develop it once it's reclaimed?
No, Jeff has aspirations to develop the site, but every time we've approached the municipality or town about how to develop a site constructively, we're always met with the past sins of the site and that we need to reclaim it. And so, frankly, we're just going through the process of taking the time to reclaim it, and then we can work through what we want to do with the project site after. I mean, clearly we're in a residential zone, so the choices there are limited without coming back to the board for other relief.
So maybe you guys have heard us, but I'm new, and perhaps this will help Gail too. Can you talk about what's the process? What is involved? What kind of reclamation work? I heard blasting, but what are you going to do?
So,
Bill, could I ask a question before he answers
sure,
your question?
Of course.
What does the word reclaim mean to you?
So generally it means smoothing and vegetating. So...
So basically the town has said you can't blast or take stuff off that site, but you're saying we have to reclaim it, so we're going to blast and take stuff off the site.
The town is saying that if we came through with a development proposal of the site today, We have been told by the administrator in the past, the building inspector, the code enforcement officer, that the site needs to be reclaimed because the prior landowners have come through, removed material, and just left it wide open. Mm-hmm. There's wide faces that are left.
Right.
There's an entire, face cliff here. Essentially, yes. They would sneak in and they would excavate behind this wall and generally leave the site unstable and unsafe. Yeah. And so we've been told as owners that we're not able to really do anything with the site until it's reclaimed. And to reclaim it, we have to remove material. You can't smooth grade and revegetate a cliff face that's negative. What do you do to that cliff face?
You're going to create an angle instead of a sheer.
Yeah, essentially, what we're proposing is to create a manageable floor, and then lay that slope.
You'll raise the floor, right?
Well, right now there are areas of it that are actually below grade, so that it doesn't, which is unsafe in itself. So we would grade this out so that it's generally, I don't want to say flat, but has a general slope to the floor of the excavation. And then we would lay all of those slopes back so that they can be managed.
So what is the elevation now, and what will it be when you're done?
Of the floor?
No, I want to know, when I was looking, at the contour lines. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 315 or something, and it looked like you were taking off 150 feet or close to that.
So
is that 2-something?
What sheet is that?
So if you look at...
Do you have a sheet number for that?
Yep, sheet 10.
Thank you.
If you look at the existing conditions plan, the floor is at about 240. And...
sheet 9's helpful.
Yep.
So this is a current...
That's existing conditions, yes.
Okay, thank you. Yep. So 330, right, is consistent. 370, 360, 310.
So we're
250
actually,
is lower.
So we're
230.
Actually...
Yeah.
So we're actually, if you want to flip back one.
Yep.
So this is the existing floor of the excavation.
Okay.
Could you show that on that big map? Because I think the people here also would like to see what your
sure.
This particular.
Here's the road.
So the existing floor is essentially in this location here. It's at approximately 240.
Yeah.
And then there are areas of the site, you can see this has essentially a negative, an inverted slope to it.
Mm-hmm. Again, could you put this map up and show this map, this particular one?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have that over there. Okay.
I don't.
Go ahead.
Nope.
No, go ahead and take that.
That helps. Hold it with the house.
Existing floor is here towards the middle of the site.
That's where they went around the back and...
That's correct. There's a trail that and a haul road that comes in, and that's the existing floor of the site. And that's at approximately elevation 240. Then you see here there's a inverted face, and then there are other... these are 10-foot contours. So there's also other inverted unstable faces here. And then an inverted face.
What's inverted?
It's
like this?
It's
like
cambered backwards, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, typically we lay slopes this way,
right.
Not this way.
Right.
That's right. And so in reclaiming that, essentially this area, the central area where they've sort of gone in behind the knob, that will be removed. The floor will be established and sloped in one direction. And then all of these slopes and unstable areas would be laid backwards or laid back upslope, and then they can be benched and stabilized.
So there were some contours there that were, I saw some that were 400, over 400 feet. So mm-hmm. you're talking about 240, going from 400 to 240.
I would like to verify that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I see 230 here.
So the actual grading plan if you turn to sheet 18, so here you can see how we're proposing to shape the floor and reverse the slope.
Yeah.
You can see here at the back of the existing excavation where we've got the 240, and then the top of the excavation is at 380. Now, something you have to consider is over that distance, that slope already exists, but it exists in a vertical format. And so when you start laying a slope backwards, you essentially start chasing it up the slope. So it's not that we're creating a 160-foot cliff.
Yeah.
We're essentially regrading a slope backwards. This is
can you tell us what 100 feet. The degree of slope will be after the reclamation?
1.5 to 1 and 2 to 1. And so that slope, that grading that has to take place, takes place over almost 200 feet, 200 horizontal feet.
I understand that, but the end result is that it's going to be about 150, 160 feet of elevation is going to be taken down.
But it is today. So
There'll still be that difference.
Right. So right now, the site grades down like this and then drops vertically. All we're doing is laying the slope back in this direction so that the tie-in point from the base to the top is the same elevation, but the distance is longer. So it's sort of basic rise over run. As you lay the slope back, you have to chase it further up the slope.
So you're doing that, you're laying that slope back because it's you're concerned about safety?
Well, definitely.
The only reason I mention this is I was driving down to Boston last week, and there were two different places where there are cuts through granite,
mm-hmm.
and there are apartment buildings on the top of probably 100, 120-foot cliff,
uh-huh.
and 50 feet from the building is a chain-link fence, and the highway's down below it, and no one's concerned about safety, or there are people living on the top of this.
Sure, no one in Boston is worried about that. But I can tell you that the state of New Hampshire is concerned about that, and we are concerned about the slope stability and making sure that it's stable when we're done. And currently, it is not stable.
And you'll loam that and hydroseed it?
Yeah, loam and seed. Yeah.
Can you talk about 1.5 to 1 and 2 to 1 slope? Just
yes.
Translate that to...
Yeah, so 3 to 1 slope is what my grandfather would call a mowable slope on a rider. So if you're on a riding lawnmower and you're on 3 to 1 slope, you don't feel uncomfortable riding horizontally along the slope. 2 to 1, you get a little steeper and you feel more uncomfortable on that slope riding. And then 1.5 to 1, my 10-year-old's push mowing that and weed whacking that type of slope. So those are the type of cambers that we're talking about.
So those are fairly significant, but far better than what's there today.
Currently, there's it's 1 to 1 and or 0 to 1 and or negative 1 to 1.
How much material are you thinking you're going to end up actually moving here?
423,000 cubic yards.
Okay.
What will this become over time? Why is this work being done? What will it support?
When we're done, it could support anything that would really be permitted in the residential zone. It could support a residential development. It could support there are recreational activities that could be utilized on this site that are permitted in the residential zone.
That's a TBA then, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is a multi-year process, so we don't want to...
So, what a...
I thought that... Wouldn't that be something that you would have to provide when you're applying for the permit? I know nothing about this, obviously, but I was just wondering.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were complete with your question.
I'm done. I'm stammering.
So the there are different permitting processes for different uses.
Okay.
And so with this process, we went through a reclamation process with alteration of terrain, with a development process where there's impervious surfaces. There's a completely different permitting process that takes place with actual development sites. So, for instance, all of the unmitigated stormwater that's been allowed to just sort of drain off from this site into the wetlands, we have erosion control measures and sedimentation and detention facilities to attenuate the flow, reduce the flow into the wetlands, and treat the flow prior to entering the wetlands. If this were a development site, they would have to consider hydrocarbons, nitrogen, phosphorus, all of the type of things that come off from developed impervious surface.
Now, all of this rock material that you're going to be moving, mm-hmm. are they crushing any of it? Or is it all going to be used to fill and level the existing area?
No, it would be crushed. And the crushing activities take place in Raymond.
Okay. obviously, it's a major project. Mm-hmm. It seems like if you're going to move all this rock, and obviously a lot of it is going to be used to level the area out, that you'd want to know what you were going to put there before. You know, now you've got to go back and move all this rock again for foundations and everything else. I understand it's a huge project, but it almost seems like the cart before the horse here.
This material is leaving the site.
Are you going to sell that?
Yeah.
So you would continue the Granite Hill business of selling stone by crushing that up and selling it?
Yeah. Granite Hill currently takes in material, processes it, and then exports it again.
Right.
This would just work alongside that existing process.
So you wouldn't be crushing that on site in Canyon?
No, we'd be crushing it on site in Raymond.
Okay. Right. And can you confirm that you were required by the Canyon Board of Selectmen to file a reclamation plan?
Well, we stood before the Board of Selectmen and were told that.
Okay.
Should be in the minutes.
The reason you're developing, the reason you have this reclamation plan is to satisfy the Canyon Board of Selectmen.
Yes. Otherwise, any other development that would take place on this rock would need to be removed incidental to that construction anyway. So I disagree that it's sort of the cart before the horse, because at that point, it would be incidental construction, and we would fall under the 155E exception.
Yeah, and you said previously, did you not, that no one wants to talk to you in this town about doing anything until this is fixed.
This has been a thorn.
Kind of circular. Right?
Yeah, this has been a thorn in everybody's side since the early 90s. Yeah.
So no one wants to talk about any kind of
earlier than
usage
that.
Okay. Until this is fixed.
Right? I mean, I found, no offense to Carolyn's great research, but I found records where this was called the Midway Pit in the 70s. So, this activity has been taking place, some legitimate, you know, and some, and a lot not, that we're trying to just rectify.
So what percentage of that land, I know that there are three fairly good-sized wetlands, what percentage of that land is wetland? And what percentage, if you take out the wetlands and you take out those slopes that are not buildable, what would you be left with that would be buildable?
I don't know that I have an answer to that. I mean, our impact area, when we're done, all of our area would be essentially buildable. At least the two floors would be very buildable. Our total impact area is about 900,000 square feet. And so even if we said half of that, plus any of the other superfluous areas outside of this actual operation, so it's acres and acres of land that would be developable when you're done.
Okay. There are significant three fairly large wetlands that I noticed on one of those maps.
Oh, sure. We've got wetlands towards the front. We do have a finger of wetlands through the middle here. And then we've got
one that's by Raymond.
And then we've got the one that's sort of marooned up here by Raymond. But the rest of the site is nice land.
Now, when you were granted the variance, would you say it was 2000?
2020.
Okay, you met all five variance criteria at that time. You must have been granted the variance.
Yeah. You were on the board, yeah. Boyd.
I would assume so. Boyd, you asked me how many cubic feet then, and I knew then, and I know now. So.
43,000,
really? Right? Yes.
So, has anything changed that would affect the way we find whether you meet those five criteria?
My opinion is no.
That's going to make that easy.
I hope your opinion is the same.
Thank you.
You said this problem was created as long ago as the 70s, right? And certainly prior to the corral owners.
I would say the 90s is really when it
90s
started becoming an issue.
Prior to the current owners, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you said that the town has indicated that no development can be considered until this is done.
Yes.
Who in the town? Is that the selectman?
At first it was the, at the time, the code enforcement officer.
Yeah.
I forget the gentleman's name.
Doesn't matter. I just want to know, the area.
And then we were directed to the select board.
Okay.
And at that time, it was determined that we needed a variance, and we should come here.
Other than housing, what else could be put on this spot when you're done with it?
Well, like I said, there's a few other recreational. I haven't looked at every use in the residential zone in a long time, but there are some recreational uses that facilities that could be used here. There could be Jeff and I have discussed a golf range, a driving range in the past, those types of, I don't want to say passive, definitely. But those types of recreational uses are permitted in the residential zone.
Mm-hmm. Military training.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I could be wrong, but it was my understanding that, and who knows which one of the many operators was responsible, mm-hmm. that there were some issues with crack foundations and whatever mm-hmm. on Bean Island and that area. Mm-hmm. What guarantee is there that this isn't going to happen this time?
So, a few different things. Proper operation is one. I think because they were doing things improperly, they were probably what we call overblasting, so that they could lay as much rock down in as short a pop as possible, so that if they were told, don't do that again, they still had rock on the ground. And so we've prepared a blasting plan. That alteration of terrain is reviewed by a actual blasting company. They've reviewed it and have approved that blasting plan. We have a groundwater monitoring plan that we prepared, and that was also reviewed by alteration of terrain and approved. And we essentially do pre-blast surveys of people's wells if okay. they want those wells reviewed, and foundations if they want those foundations reviewed. Then we set up seismographs at the extents of the property to make sure that we're not overshooting the site.
You know, it's concerning because at one point, I believe it was Maine Drilling and Blasting, mm-hmm. that blasted the side of that face and put rock through a building on the other side of 27.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Wow.
They certainly did not have.
Holy cow.
And they're certainly a reputable company. Mm-hmm. So it kind of concerns me how this is going to be managed. We don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, we certainly don't want that to happen again either. I mean, I can't tell you why that happened or, you know, what the circumstances of that are.
They couldn't either.
I can just tell you the amount of scrutiny that this has gone under just to get to a point where we can utilize our property is fairly immense. And I don't believe Jeff intends to do anything to damage his pretty long-standing reputation in this area for being a quality citizen and a business owner. So.
Any other board members have any questions?
I have one more. Can you speak to the impact on property values that this reclamation would have?
So I think the closest abutters are those that live along Bean Island here.
Yeah.
I think we've got a fairly good rapport and reputation with literally our closest abutter. Mm-hmm. The distance that we are from that particular abutter and really any of the residential users further up Island Road, and then I forget the name of the road out behind us here, literally 400, 500, 600, 700 feet. And so our impact is really going to be isolated to the area that's already been impacted.
And so would the value be decreased to surrounding properties?
I've put together an exciting summary of each of the five criteria that I would love to share with the board.
Sure. I think I'm going to ask you to hold on because I think we need to hear from the audience first, your questions, and that in some you can sum up with your five criteria.
Do you want to go ahead and respond to that one specifically?
Yeah. What I have here for the fourth criteria concerning the values of the property will not be diminished. The proposed use here is limited in scope. Again, it is only 20 acres of that 73-acre subject property. It is temporary in nature. It is specifically designed to stabilize and reclaim the existing excavation areas while implementing safeguards to improve the safety of the property and minimize impact on surrounding parcels. And furthermore, improving the condition of this property and the usability of this site will facilitate its future development, which will support surrounding property values.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
If anyone else on the board have questions? Mm-hmm. Tony, Gail? Okay, so I'll open it to the audience.
Blasting in days about how many...
Well, 400 and some thousand.
No, there won't be a lot of days because we've been restricted very heavily on the actual days that or times of years that we can blast. We have negotiated with Fish and Game. Is it three blasts?
Yes.
Three blasts a year. Three blasts a year. So this is not going to be a continuous thing.
Right.
Exactly. So,
3 days?
No, three blast periods.
Oh, three blast periods.
So we would...
So what is a blast period?
A blast period could be anywhere between a day and a week, maybe a couple days after that.
But not at night, Boyd. You're all right. But...
So you can't give us a specific, like it'll be...
It would be no more than a week times three, right?
No, he didn't say that. A week or days after that. So
okay. I was just looking for a rough. That's fine. How do you notify the abutters? Shelter in place? What are they? I mean,
we set up a large siren. We hit the button. No, I'm just joking.
Good.
Yeah.
Would they have to be notified?
The first few times that we would want to do this, I think we would send out mail, certified mail,
okay,
letting everybody know.
Okay.
We would encourage them to provide us with all of their contact information, uh-huh, so that we can go review, wells, foundations, and those types of things prior to blasting. So it's more of an open line of communication that is required.
Okay. Now, would this blasting shake and a butter's house in any way, or
no, it is not.
That's
not supposed
far
to
enough
that.
Away.
No,
not supposed. To.
Well, that's the purpose. That's the purpose of seismographs at the extents of the property, so that we can ensure that we're not causing harm beyond our property lines.
So their only intrusion would be a little bit of noise once in a while, right?
Well, you'd have the noise from the actual blast, but all the crushing, again, takes place in Candia, where crushing activities take place now.
Raymond.
Raymond, where those activities take place now.
Did you say that you would go to people's houses and inspect their foundation prior to the blasting?
As part of the pre-blast survey?
Yeah.
If they request that, then we have to offer that to them. The blasting company takes care of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long do you think this total project is going to take?
We're hoping 3-4 years.
Jeez.
And your permits are all squared away. You can start next Monday, or if you get this variance.
We have a filing we have to do with the EPA, but after that, we should be all set.
Okay.
But it's a filing. It doesn't require approval.
That's correct.
Okay. How long are you asking for this variance for?
Well, as soon as it's effectuated, we no longer need a time frame from you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I'm all set.
Okay, so if you would like to speak, if you stand up, and I hope that you've signed your name. If you haven't signed your name, if you, when you're done speaking, if you will come and sign your name. Is there anyone who wishes to speak at all? Any from the audience? We're open for questions from the people in the audience. Please state your name and where you live.
Didn't you say that you want Sandra had 22 Island Road? Didn't you say you wanted the people that were for this to speak first?
People who are for, who are in favor should speak first. So, do we have anybody on Zoom? Okay, so if you are opposed, then we'll take comments from the people who are opposed. And if you haven't signed up, if you would spell your name so that Megan can get it down for you. So please go ahead.
Sandra Faust, 22 Island Road.
And would you spell your last name?
F-A-U-S-T. Now, he keeps saying that all the crushing's in Raymond. We're not going to hear the noise. It's in Raymond. It's for years we've been hearing the noise and crushing. I think they're actually operating on the Candia side again. It's from, we've been here since 95, and I'd say about 97 when Kevin Cole took it over. We started playing the game. I'm on the Raymond side. I'm on the Candia side. I'm on the Raymond side, depending on which town they were talking to. And it's been a nightmare all along. And even while they have owned the property, the crushing, the chipping, the, what did you call it, a power hammer going on over there, it's constant. It starts before 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's just, don't we have a right to enjoy our property? They knew this was a residential area when they bought the property. So they just, in my opinion, they want the rock, to sell the rock. And I think we need some relief from all this after over 20-something years of this in our backyard. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak?
Yes, Darren Panzeri, 59 Island Road.
And can you spell your last name, please?
P-A-N-Z-I-E-R-I. I just got a couple of concerns. They're talking about blasting. The last time Cole was in there blasting, my aunt and uncle owned my house 45 years prior of me buying it in 2020. The foundation's been cracked. They had well problems. The other thing was, too, my concern was they were concerned about safety on the property of the, and who's the safety for? Or is it just for future development? Pretty much it. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
Zachary there.
And could you spell your
75 Island Road.
And would you spell your last name, please? I'm sorry.
T-H-A-Y-E-R. You guys said you haven't done anything there in Candia. Nothing's being done now currently, or nothing's been done for a while. Google Maps, you pull it up, you can see different piles already on the Candia side. And if it's been years, you would assume anything would grow in there. So that's all spied right there. You pull it up on Google, you can see it. Blasting. You can't tell me you're going to blast and 500 yards away you're not going to feel it. People shoot guns. We live in New Hampshire. I hear that shit all the time. That's not true. You're not going to blast and you're not going to feel it. Come on, let's be real. We moved to Candia, just probably everybody that's here moved for a quiet neighborhood, not to live in a business that is looking to do commercial work for profit in a residential zone. They don't have a plan on what they want to do there for residential. Again, another lie. They're just looking to profit off the rock in our backyard and make a big giant hole. Once they're done, they're going to then try to sell. So it's not residential. They're not doing it to better our community for the safety of the rock that's been laid over since well before my time here. The well's in the foundation. They're going to say they're going to do inspections. Okay, they're going to hire their guy or their team that's going to do those inspections. Then when that well fails, that foundation cracks, the pool's got issues, they're going to have their guy come back in and say, oh, nope, that wasn't us. This is a company that's coming in that is only doing this for a commercial purpose, not a residential purpose, not a safety purpose. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? So we have no one on Zoom? Okay.
I guess I have a question, and maybe abutters can answer this. Are you concerned about getting that site cleaned up? However, it's a mess over there.
Stop.
Are you happier having it stay the way it is?
It's better than keep taking it down because they never put anything back in the last 25 years.
I don't understand what the safety issue is. It's not like it's public land where people can walk on.
Excuse me, sir, No, that's okay. I welcome your comments. I would just ask if you would identify yourself, please.
Darren Panzer.
Your address, too, sir.
59 Island.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh,
would
I'm
you,
sorry. I was just wondering what the safety was. That's why I asked if there was going to be future development down there. Just like to know what's actually going to go on. It's my backyard, that's all.
Mm. Anybody else have any other questions?
James Vancour, 377 Cricket Road.
Would you spell your last name?
V as in Victor, V-A-N-C-O-U-R.
Okay, Mr. Vancour, continue, please.
When Kevin Cole was blasting, it was shaking my house on Cricket Road. Mm. And I'd had cracked windows, cracked chimney. I believe that caused a fire in my house. How far out is the radius where they would put the seismographs and monitor the wells and check foundations?
Yes.
Would you like me to answer that?
Yes, please.
Yep. So it'd be any direct abutter.
Any direct abutter. So
I'm about 100 feet away.
Mr. Vancour, because he's a half mile away, is not a direct abutter.
Typically, that's not who we would notify. I mean, if he's within a close proximity and the board would like us to notify him for the same purpose, we're happy to do so.
Well, I think he's... What I'm hearing from him is that he's concerned about damage to his house, that it differs from what you're saying, that the blasting is contained and you're doing the best you can to not cause damage. And what he's saying is in direct contradiction to what you're saying, is that his experience has been that he's had damage to his house, and it's well past the area that you're talking about that should have damage.
Sure. And I think the one thing to keep in mind with all of these contradictions each one of them starts with when Kevin Cole owned the pit.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a stark difference between the correct way to do this and the wrong way to do this. How is it that we're able to blast alongside highways and there's no harm? How is that possible? If we're saying, if we want to demonize this activity, why is it okay in some areas and not in others? And the stark difference here is there's a proper way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. We've demonstrated to the state of New Hampshire that we intend to do this the proper way. As soon as it's not done the proper way, we have to stop. So, well, if a complaint's lodged against us with the town, then the town would investigate that, and if the complaint is lodged against us with NHDES alteration of terrain, then they have an enforcement arm.
And a complaint would be, I went into breaking?
Yeah, sure. And a butter calling and saying, hey, I have direct evidence or empirical evidence that they blasted on this day and my windows blew out of my house. I mean,
can I ask a question?
You can say that our pre-blast surveys are faulty. They can have their own pre-blast surveys done as well.
At a cost.
Sure, at a cost.
And then if there's damage done and it's proven that that's a result of the blasting, are you guys liable for that?
The insurance company for the blasting company is, yes.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you set up a circle of seismographs, if you don't detect anything within that circle, then the seismograph is going to indicate that there couldn't have been anything outside that circle.
That's the point of having the seismograph.
That's what I thought. Okay. So a homeowner who's not a direct abutter is still protected by having the seismographs in existence.
Yeah. Honestly, the seismographs protect us.
Yeah.
Because as much as, again, we want to demonize this activity, there's a lot of false claims that also take place.
Right.
And so this protection of liability is a two-way street.
Tony, I'd like to ask the lady that first stood up. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, ma'am.
Toast.
When's the last time you heard this noise, this significant noise?
Today.
It's
constant.
Okay.
It's just
today.
Stopped.
But they haven't done anything in 2 years. That's what I'm hearing,
Raymond,
right?
They say they're in Raymond, but what is the feet distance from our house to the Raymond town line?
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just because there's that town line there,
okay,
and they're technically in Raymond, with the doors and windows closed, all you hear is that hammer, the crushing, the trucks. You can hear the backup signals when they back up, you know, that beep, beep, beep.
Yep.
All of that is constant, every day, all day long.
Is this a company that's doing this? Your company?
Yes.
It's my company.
We haven't run in months.
We haven't even operated at all.
We haven't had that.
Well, so she said today, and you're saying
on the ground.
It's out of service. Who
I believe.
It's been out of service. Mm-hmm. We haven't
Can
even
I
put
start
it back
recording
together.
It? By all means.
I'm happy to go through and respond to some of the comments.
Yeah, shut down all the
Is there anything else out there that it could be?
We don't hear it.
Ma'am, would you state your name, please, and spell it?
Alicia Sayer, Chayer, 75 Island Road.
Okay.
I would agree with everything that has been stated thus far, but I also want to add in and try to be a voice for all the animals that are out there. Wildlife is really important in our area in Candia, and that's one of the things that I wish we pride ourselves on is the various wildlife we have. And even if an animal isn't endangered, we need to protect their area. And hearing that there are three marsh areas in those lots is kind of concerning, because that is going to impact all of their habitats and all of their vegetation and what they can eat and drink. And that is going to then come off into our houses and our homes. And what is going to happen with all of that wildlife that is there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where's the noise coming from? She said she heard today, sir.
Where we operate a business out of Raymond, New Hampshire, we do have trucks and
okay.
Leaving the site.
That's enough. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Lafayette, 75 Island Road, 79 Island Road, sorry, I don't know my own. 79 Island Road. Yes,
would you spell your last name, please?
F-R-E-D-E-T-T-E.
Thank you.
We've only been in town a couple years, and yes, we hear the noise all day long, every day. But more than that is this blasting. They say they get three segments that they can do it in. What exactly is this going to pertain to us? I've got dogs, I've got grandchildren that are out on our property all the time. It's going to drive animals into our property. This blasting really concerns me in the amount of noise and disturbance to our lives. And how long? They say 4 years. I don't want to listen to that for 4 years. Thank you.
Happy to respond to some of the comments.
You're going to get a chance.
Okay.
Did you want to go through your five, do you want to, is it covered in your five variance criteria or is it separate?
Actually, the majority is covered in my five variance criteria.
So if you'd want to go through your five variance criteria then, and that would, if that covers it, and then add anything else that... Well, no, they always do, they always read what their take is, and then.
Okay, and then.
Then we go through it. Yes.
Caroline, would you like me to? There are a couple of comments that we'd like to respond to.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that is fine. If you'd like to respond.
Yeah. He says there are comments he wants to respond to.
So I think it's important to note that. As Jeff pointed out, there's activities that take place on this site in Raymond. We've mapped the town line. If there's an issue with where the town line is, we can certainly map it on the ground so that all of those activities stay in Raymond. It is a permitted use in Raymond, and that use has been in operation now for years. We agreed with the zoning board during our last approval of this same variance to make sure all of those activities stay in Raymond, because that's where it's permitted, and that's where that activity has been taking place.
What activity? The crushing?
The crushing, the material recycling, all of those types of activities. They currently take place permitted in the town of Raymond.
And basically, irrespective of what happens on this site, they're going to continue there. Is that what you're saying?
He runs a material recycling business out of Raymond.
So whether they get the rock from the Candia side or they get the rock from some other place,
correct.
These people are still going to be hearing all the noise.
Yeah, and to be perfectly frank, there have been other abutters that have had complaints with Jeff, and the two of them have gotten together, worked things out. If there are issues that abutters are having, they should go see Jeff. He is a pretty good neighbor. And so if his employees are starting things earlier than they should, I'm sure he would find ways of mitigating that. So that's the first we're hearing of these issues. We didn't hear about them in 2020 when we received our variance the first time. I don't believe anybody's gone to Jeff and mentioned it since then. And so I think it's important to note that if there are issues, they should go see Jeff. With respect to any of the future blasting questions and concerns, as I've pointed out, the blasting activity that needs to take place has to be done in a reasonable format and a reasonable manner. It can't be done willy-nilly. We can't overblast. It is a liability for us to create issues with our neighbors. And so we're doing everything and will continue to do everything we can to make sure that we don't have that liability. Our blasting company isn't going to want that liability. So it's a lot of these procedures are in place to not only protect the abutters, but also protect the owner from false claim. So we can't fix everything that Mr. Cole did on this property to some of the abutting landowners moving forward. All we can do is try and fix the land, be good neighbors, and do this in a responsible format.
Very well.
When would the blasting happen? Would it be in, like right away and then be over with, or would it be any time across 4 years?
Well, it would take place, again, three times a year throughout the year. And so throughout all 4 years, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So we have a spring window, a summer window, and a fall window that we can blast, and then we can't blast outside of those windows.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
I just want to confirm something. Okay, if you would wait just 1 minute.
It is, but we told AOT that we basically do three shots in those windows.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, sir, you wanted, if you would stand and spell your last name.
Fredette, F-R-E-D-E-T-T-E.
Okay.
That's 79 Island. Now, you mentioned when you doing the pre-test on the blasting, or the prerequisite, and you want to put the seismograph, you're saying you only do it to the closest abutter. So if we wanted our house tested, per se, before this all happens, and if we don't do it, are we not in the realm of if this damage is done? Because you're saying the person over by Bean Island is your closest abutter that you're going to do it to. And if something happens to ours and we didn't get tested, what happens to us? And if we have damages?
So is there someone, can you answer that question? Or?
Yeah, so the seismographs are set up. I would imagine there may be three on this particular site that are set up. And again, the blasting company really dictates that. And the seismographs, again, are set up in likely three locations around where the blast activity would take place. And they would be set at sort of logical intervals around the site so that we could pick up what the seismic activity is of that particular blast. And so we're not setting seismographs on other people's property. We're setting them in key locations on our property.
But you said we could get pre-tested?
So what I stated is that there are what's called pre-blast surveys that can be done, that are done. And essentially, people go on a list, and if they want to have a pre-blast survey done, our blasting company goes in, does a pre-blast survey of their home. Typically, it's videoed and camered for evidence, and then it's done afterwards.
Is there a limit to how close to the site or how far away from the site that these people, because as the gentleman said, he's on Critchett Road and he's quite a ways away, but he had...
So, like I said, it's immediate abutters, typically, that have that, we send registered letters to. If he's not an immediate abutter, but relatively close to our boundary line, if he wants to be added to the list, then he can give us his name, number, and we're happy to send him a letter and set up communication with him. You know, we're not, this isn't an open invitation for all of Candia to get on our list for pre-blast surveys. But I think, you know, if it's reasonable to think that certainly the first few times, if he's on the pre-blast survey list and we're not finding that there are any issues and maybe he feels comfortable, then he comes off the list. So.
I just have an additional question on top of that. How would we know if we're an abutter or not? Because obviously we all got letters to be here, so it impacted somehow. But how are we going to know? And if we aren't an abutter, we won't get notified ahead of time that this is going to happen. So how would we know to get that test ahead of time? Because I guess I want to know a confirmation of if our house is actually an abutter or not.
Yeah, and you might where it's being blasted could move,
exactly.
Right?
Aren't they in butter in the eyes of this area? This municipality because they got the letter?
Yes.
They default,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If they're in the room, then they're in a butter.
If you do receive
in
the
butter.
Letter,
yes.
The notice.
But I didn't receive a letter because I'm not in the butter, but on my property, of course.
You're in the room.
But I'm in the room.
Then I would encourage him to hand out contact information.
Hand out contact information to you tonight? Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So basically what he's saying is that if you have concerns, give him your contact information tonight before you leave. And I'm sure we can find some way to provide paper and pencils or something that, that you can write your information on to hand it to them to pass to.
You have it up there, right?
Pardon me?
You have my contact. You have my name and address.
I do, but I think he, what he's saying is give it to him because I'm not going to contact him.
Right.
The town is not going to contact you or contact any of the butters. Once this is over one way or the other, that if you wish to be notified, then give them your name and address tonight.
Okay.
Notifications, the first time around, obviously, you send a letter and do your thing. But will you... each time you're going to blast, somehow notify these people other than typical three blasts of an air horn and a all clear at the end?
The first few times we would send registered letters. And then I would anticipate that anybody that is concerned after the first few times, there'd be an open line of communication between the applicant and those landowners.
So conceivably, they could set up with their cell phones and you could do a notification on their cell phones, we're going to blast at 1 p.m.
Most likely it would be an email correspondence that would go out, if I were to guess, based on the digital age we live in, that says we're going to blast on this day.
Okay, but that's not going to say a time... set time at 1 p.m.,
no.
For instance.
No. This is not an Amber Alert.
No, I understand,
it's
but I mean, it seems like that's a possible thing to do.
I think at that point, it's a little onerous on the applicant to know exactly when we would be able to blast on any particular day.
No, but you could say we're going to be blasting today.
Absolutely.
And
you could say you're
going to
be blasting today.
You're not going to be blasting until midnight, right?
Correct.
But if you had... a group of 15 people with their phone numbers, I don't see how that's a big issue to half an hour before you blast, send an email or voice message, whatever, to these people saying this is what we're going to do. It just seems like it would make it easier for everybody. I'm not trying to complicate the issue, but...
Okay, go ahead. State your name.
Sandra Faust again. Now my concern is, I think last time that you gave them the variance for this property, you stated that there would be no entrance and exit to the property from Island Road, which I believe is the legal entrance to the Candia property. And if they're developing that, where is the entrance going to be for any development? Are they still going to start reusing the entrance that goes out into Island Road for their removal of rock or whatever they're doing? Where does that entrance stand? I'd say last time you told them they could not use Island Road when you gave them the variance. So is that still going to stand?
Okay. So could you explain, like, how the removal is going? Are they going through that path that Kevin Cole made over to the... Okay, so how do you intend to get in and out of the property?
We have a well-established entrance in Raymond. This is where all the activity takes place currently. There's a haul road that's in place now. It comes into the property, comes into excavation area 2. It even comes up into the existing floor. We have no need to run trucks out onto Island Road. As for future development, I can't guarantee that we wouldn't use Island Road in the future. There's traffic connectivity, there's loop roads, there's things like that that we have to consider. So as far as this process is concerned, we can commit to not using Island Road for any trucking or any moving of material.
Okay, so do you want to go through your five variance criteria?
Yes, thank you. And I think a lot of the questions that were asked tonight are answered within these summaries, and if not, I'll just call those out at the end. So the first criteria is that granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And in reviewing that factor, we hear that is the case because it is not unduly violate the basic objectives of the zoning ordinance. It does not alter the essential character of the area, and it does not threaten the health, safety, or the public welfare. I think there was comment about this is a residential zone. I think that is the whole point of this process, because the way the current conditions of the property are inconsistent with the character of the area. So the proposed use is aimed at making this property consistent with the surrounding property. The safety concerns here, as Chris pointed out, these ledges, the current conditions of the property are unstable. So our goal is to make those stabilized conditions and also implement those environmental protections that haven't been used since the early 2000s. I mean, we've found evidence that early 2000s, there was an AOT permit that was initiated to address stormwater management and erosion control. However, that was never implemented. That is something that we're trying to implement now, and that is why we're seeking the process, and that is why the AOT permit was issued from the DES, which is the authority that's tasked with reviewing and issuing those permits to ensure that the protection of water quality, to prevent soil erosion, and to regulate and manage stormwater development activities. The project does include environmental protections. I know there was a comment about there being wildlife on the property. Under our proposal, we're preserving 21 acres of the property as conservation area for wildlife habitat. And there's also implementing wildlife protection and monitoring protocols. I know Chris touched on how the blasting would be limited, and those blasting activities are generally limited between the months of May and August. There is some ability to extend that out through September, but that would require that there be a qualified biologist monitoring that work. And what we're proposing here is consistent with the 2002 Superior Court order, which I did reference in our application materials to you, where the court did order the reclamation of this property to address the improperly expanded excavation activity that had occurred previously. Again, there will be no processing of materials on the Candia side, and Island Road will not be used as an access road. What goes on in Raymond in that permitted zone is something that...
What was the year that court ordered again?
2002. Again, this is a temporary use of the property, and any excavation is temporary in nature. It's only necessary in order to reclaim the site. Once the site has been reclaimed, the excavation activities will not continue.
Are you still speaking to criteria one?
Yes, the public interest criteria. The next criteria is that granting the variance will observe the spirit of the ordinance. And there is case law that provides that the requirement that the variance not be contrary to the public interest is directly related to the requirement that it be consistent with the spirit of the ordinance. And so I echo everything that I said under that previous criteria. I incorporate that here, but I would also like to add that we're not introducing a new excavation use. Instead, we're focusing on rectifying the existing conditions of the land in a controlled and environmentally safe manner in order to prepare the land for future responsible development so that it can positively contribute to the overall character of the area. There's this talk of, well, what is it going to be? What is it going to be developed? It's been, as we've discussed, kind of this circular discussion where the board says, well, you can't do anything until you get this reclamation plan submitted and the variance approved. And then we come here, and it's been a very circular process in trying to develop this land. So that is the point of our being here. And then I'd also like to add that although excavation is generally restricted within this residential district, again, the CZO or the Candia zoning ordinance does contemplate excavation activity in connection with a development project. And again, that's why we're here, because we've been on that kind of runaround. The next criteria is that granting the variance will do substantial justice. And in reviewing this factor, we look at whether there is no individual loss that is not outweighed by a gain to the general public. So here, granting the variance allows the applicant to reclaim the property and address the existing disturbed conditions in preparation for future development. And the benefit to the public here is tangible. It would allow the property to be developed into a productive use of land, restore the land into a safe and environmentally compliant condition, which it has not been managed in that way since at least the early 90s. And it will result in a long-term improvement. Again, it implements environmental protections required by New Hampshire DES, and it conserves approximately 21 acres of land for wildlife habitat. And absent the requested variance, the property would remain in its current disturbed, unsafe condition, and the reclamation measures that have been approved by the AOT permit would not be able to be implemented. I did touch on the value of surrounding property, but I'll go through that again. The proposed use, again, is limited in scope. It is temporary, and it is specifically designed solely to stabilize and reclaim the existing excavated areas while implementing safeguards to minimize impact to the surrounding areas. And, again, improving the condition of this property will facilitate a productive use of land, future development can be consistent with the surrounding area and support surrounding property values. And the last criteria is the unnecessary hardship criteria. And here we look at whether literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in an unnecessary hardship. And in doing that, we look at whether owing to special conditions of this property that distinguish it from others in the area, whether denying the variance would result in an unnecessary hardship. So you look at whether there's a fair and substantial relationship between the specific provisions of the ordinance and the application to this property, and whether the proposal is reasonable. And this property is characterized by conditions that distinguish it from others in the area, and that is those disturbed excavation areas, the exposed ledge faces, the steep slopes, and those were created by prior excavation activities. These characteristics are not consistent with other properties in the residential district, and they require excavation and grading in order to stabilize, reclaim it for future use, and make it consistent with the area. And strict application of the prohibition of excavation activities in the residential district in this case would, of course, prevent the property from being stabilized, but also relief here can be granted without frustrating the purpose of the ordinance, again, because there is no harm to the public interest. It doesn't diminish surrounding property values. There is substantial justice that is done. And lastly, the proposed use is reasonable because, again, it allows the property to be rectified, to be returned to a safe, environmentally compliant lot. And it preserves the wildlife habitat, those 21 acres. It's temporary, and it's undertaken solely for the purpose of preparing the property for future development so that it can be consistent with the character of the area. And I think there were a few points that, or a few questions that were raised. One of them was that the Google images show that the property, there are piles of materials on the property. Those piles, I understand that people dump items on the lot. So those piles are formed to try to clear out that dumping that is occurring on the lot. It's not that they're performing work. It's that they're trying to maintain what is being done to their property. And again, as Chris pointed out, there is lots of comment about when Kevin Cole was doing this, when he was doing that, concerns about his blasting activities. But we see that Kevin Cole didn't go through the same processes that our applicant is going. Our applicant is going to the state. Our applicant is coming to the board because our applicant cares about doing this the right way and doing it consistent with process. And so That is the five variance criteria, and if the board has any questions on those factors, I'm happy to answer those.
We're strictly talking about Candia here, right?
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen in Raymond.
Do you want to go look at that site?
And we don't care, right?
I've been there, but I could go back.
No, I have to say.
Well,
I think Raymond isn't the on the table. Candia is.
Right, Candia is on the table here. What happens in Raymond,
yep.
As long as it's permitted.
I withdraw
okay.
The comment, question, wherever it was, right?
Tony, what do you think about going and looking at the site and seeing what they're talking about?
Well, I've gone by it, but I'd be happy to put on my backpack and climb up the hill.
And not that reverse slope, my friend.
Well, that
Ron,
could be
dear,
tricky.
What do you think about? I mean, the thing is, part of me wants to go there and see what this is and have them show us what they're doing and what they're planning, where see these slopes and everything, and see what's.
I would go with it, and I'd like to get some sort of estimate of in Candia when it would be completed, the reclamation, not the housing project or anything.
Okay, 4 years.
4 years.
The noise.
4 years.
Specifically,
well, the noise is never going to go away because they're hearing the noise from Raymond, and they're not closing their place in Raymond. This is adjacent to the. The line just happens to go through that hill.
But blasting would be 3 to 4 years.
But the crushing and all that, the noise from the crushing and the trucks is going to continue.
But blasting would be,
And the rock from Candia is processed in rain, right?
Correct.
Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Okay.
Right.
For how long? 4 years?
4 years.
Yeah.
3 to 4, right?
Site visit, yes, no?
I'm happy to do that if you'd like us to do that. I've been there several times.
Oh, I've never been there. So.
You've purchased material from us, right?
Yes.
Okay,
gotcha. Ron, would you?
I would go. I'm not sure how it's going to change anything. I mean, I sympathize with the neighbors here that, I think they'd just as soon see it just go away.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
I think going there, you could appreciate that there's a hazard there. Some kid wanders off and goes to the edge there. He could be fatal. So that could happen, right? To an animal or to a child, right? Or somebody's out ripping around with a dirt bike and they shouldn't be there. Of course, it's private property, but bad things can happen and have, right? So I would, from that perspective, it might be good to see it. That's a sheer rock face.
This is in, again, Candia. And I hate to ask another Raymond question, but is that zoned residential?
No.
Is it
commercial?
Mixed commercial.
Mixed commercial. L1, L2?
Raymond?
Okay.
Co-pirates.
So.
Yeah. It's
the same.
Yeah.
We have trucks that leave. Yeah.
So we have to decide whether or not we want a site visit.
Well,
yeah.
May I say something?
Absolutely.
When we considered this in 2000, we decided the site visit was necessary. They met all five criteria in 2000. We granted the variance, and nothing has changed on the ground over there since that year.
No.
And I don't see where a site visit.
What we didn't have back then, Boyd, was input from the audience. Now we do.
Yes, we did have input.
Well, I didn't realize all that was going on.
It wasn't a unanimous decision in 2020. It was a 3-2 decision. So I don't know if you want to go and look at the site, or you have to decide if you want to, if it would make a difference. I mean.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I'm happy to go and walk with you guys and see it again. But if, would you like to see it?
I've never been on. I've been by it 100 times, 1,000 times.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do
really
want to just mention that it was a unanimous decision in 2021. The only vote that came back 4-1 was on the public interest question, but all other votes were unanimous.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And nothing, I mean, Chris has presented us with the plans of what it's going to look like in the future. That's nothing you can see by walking around the site.
No, but we haven't gotten into the discussion yet, so I think that's part for the discussion.
Do we want to have the discussion first?
If we're done, we're done with the public comment, then we have to close the hearing.
Okay.
And then you have to decide if you want to go to see us.
Before we discuss.
Why do we?
That's what I was asking. Should we have the discussion then?
Yes.
Have the discussion, decide whether a site visit.
Absolutely. And then you can go in the. Well, it doesn't make any difference because if you vote on the five criteria, then there's. You would put off the voting until after the site visit.
Right. So I was proposing that we have a discussion, see if we're prepared to take a vote, or we prefer to do a site visit.
Excellent.
We haven't closed this yet, right?
No, we haven't. We haven't.
Sir, how long have you had your business here?
I believe 9 years.
9 years? Ma'am, when did you move into that property?
1995.
And it was noisy then?
No.
No?
It was not done. Silversmith or Silverstein or something was the original property owner at that time. And another owner? We have paperwork where out of all that property that he owned in the Candia side, only 4 acres was permitted to be excavated,
mm-hmm.
and there was to be no crushing and no blasting.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Kevin Cole took over and bought the property from him and did all kinds of despicable stuff,
yep.
like, say, plant Candia, Raymond, this sure and that. It was main blasting.
By despicable stuff, I'm specifically interested in the noise. Did Kevin Cole make the noise?
Yes, he blasted and he made noise. With
blasting and crushing.
And he was crushing. And it went back and forth several times between the I'm in Candia and everything, and the court date that they're talking about where the court ruled against and for the companies that owned the property. That's because they said that the town had allowed Kevin Cole to do these things for so long that he's basically grandfathered because the town failed to act.
For just the 4 acres?
Yes.
Actually, the town said that he had extended beyond the grandfathered use. So the grandfathered use was found before Kevin
Cole. That was for
Cole.
Right,
and then they said, Kevin Cole, you got to go back to that grandfathered use and limit yourself.
Right, you must reclaim what you've done.
And he never did.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to fix.
Yes.
Right. Got it. Yeah.
So, before we close the meeting, we have to decide if you're going to go to a site visit or not. Because if you go to a site visit, there's no.
Why do we have to decide that before we close?
Before we have the discussion,
the thing is that you wouldn't discuss it then. You would discuss it. We would have to continue the meeting till next month and then discuss it next month.
So we can't have a discussion now and a discussion later. It was one discussion, and we have to decide whether.
Well, you would. The thing is, it wouldn't affect what we're doing here. This is a whole different process. Deciding once we close the hearing, and then we go through the.
Okay.
So what would be the sense of going and looking at the property?
Would you like to go to do a site visit?
I would like to do a site visit, but I don't know if anyone else does.
Does anybody object? I mean, if one of us wants to see it, I'm happy to see it.
I'd like to see it.
Okay.
And hear it.
So you want to go do that?
Ron?
That's fine, if everybody wants to.
So we would have to continue the meeting till next month.
Right.
Go and set up a time when you could take us over there and show us what you're doing. Because part of the concern that I have is that we have said there's no more, they have to reclaim it, but there's no more blasting. But then what we're actually doing is what we said you can't do.
So those negative slopes and why it's necessary to blast, that kind of thing would be helpful to understand. You guys could show us that.
You can walk out there anytime.
Yeah. All right.
So can
better.
You can you tell us, set up a time that we could go over there? And then the other thing is, it would be a public hearing. A site visit is a public meeting for the board, so that the abutters could be there.
Okay.
Would you object?
As a point of clarification, it's a public meeting, but not a public hearing.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yes, it is a public meeting. So they don't get to ask questions, but they get to be there and to just see what's going on. Yes.
Okay.
So we would ask that if the board chooses to do a sidewalk, you choose a date. We continue this meeting to a date certain for that.
Absolutely.
Meeting, right. Continue a date certain.
For absolutely. That. And we would set up something between. We meet the second Tuesday of the month. So it will be May 13th.
12th? Is that this year's calendar?
Oh, May 12th. Sorry, I was looking at Wednesday. May 12th.
Yeah.
So it would be May 12th, so sometime between now and May 12th. And it would be advantageous to set it up now rather than because everyone could hear when the time and the date is to a date certain. So
pick a date and we're happy to be there.
Anybody want to? Do you want to do it during the week or on the weekend?
I could do it now during the week. So
Think we're all of us could do it during the week. So set it up for noontime someday, or I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning is good.
Anything,
yeah.
Either's
fine. Pick a day.
Okay, so next. We're at the 14th. I don't know, you want to do it this week?
Next week would be better.
Next week?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday or Tuesday is better for me.
Okay.
I got to check.
So the 20th or the 21st? Do you guys have a preference?
21st is
better for me. 21st, Tuesday, or the 21st, 10 a.m.?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Is that good for you guys?
At the site.
At the site.
Say that again, the 21st. At what time?
10 a.m.
I can't do 10 a.m. on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Okay. Can you do, what time can you do Tuesday?
It would have to be afternoon.
Okay.
So 1 o'clock. Yeah, 1 o'clock on Tuesday. You realize there's nothing else except those 3 days on this calendar. Okay, 1 o'clock at the gravel pit. Where do you want us to meet you? Just right pulling off the.
It's an office trailer as you pull down in.
Off the at the Candia site, correct? Or into
the
Raymond site?
We don't use the Candia site.
So you just go in where the sign is.
Okay.
And you follow that down to the left.
And you'll
trailer.
See the office
okay.
trailer there.
All right.
And everyone should check in there.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. So 1 o'clock on
good.
The 21st, and then...
I will have that covered.
Yeah.
And then May 12th.
I'm going to have to buy hard hats and safety vests.
May,
do you guys have?
I need a cow. I need
April
a cow.
April 21st is the walk
for MSHA.
Yeah, April 21st is it. So April 21st is a site walk for everyone that's here at 1 o'clock. Yes.
We, not that this needs to be strictly, you know, limited, but we have MSHA requirements that we have to meet. And so we sort of need a general count of the humans that are going to be on site so that we can make sure we have enough hard hats and have enough safety vests.
Okay.
Oh.
How do you want us to notify you of that? I mean, we
well,
can certainly...
Well, if it's generally the count in the room, we can take a count now.
Even if I have more,
yeah, yeah.
It's fine.
So it would be helpful if folks can raise their hand of who actually will be coming. So do we want to do that? We're all coming, right?
Yeah.
We should raise
yeah.
our hands.
Boy,
I'm not sure.
One, you are? Me? You coming? No.
11, 12,
yeah.
Five.
Okay, five.
Five at
Megan.
The table.
We're five or six, right? So.
Five, yeah.
We'll have about 20 on site.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, you have 3 bars
for
everybody?
No, but we're going to get
yeah,
them.
Yeah. They're...
Everyone has their own. So we will supply them for this meeting.
Okay.
I have one. Do you want me to
I've got
one?
My own.
If you could, that would be
yeah.
very generous.
Yeah.
You know the rules.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay. Okay.
All right. So then we will not close it. We will adjourn the hearing until May 12th.
Right.
We're continuing it until May 12th. And so we'll be back here on May 12th, but we'll also be on the site on the 21st. Is So is that clear to everybody here?
So what time on May 12th?
Same time, 6:30.
No, on the
12th. Pardon me?
On the 12th.
Yeah. Yes.
Just as a point of order, there
yes.
needs to be a motion made. To
yes, we will.
Okay, and a date and a time has come up.
Yes, we will. Thank you. So I need a motion to continue the hearing until May 12th at 6:30.
I need to continue this hearing until May 12th at 6:30.
Okay, and we all know that, that there's a site visit.
Do a site visit.
Okay.
Do we need a motion for that, or are we good?
I think we're good.
Okay.
So any other questions or anybody on the board? So I'll continue, then we'll continue on since we have continued that hearing. Okay, so we have our minutes from, go through our minutes.
Motion out.
Yeah, do we need to vote on the motion?
What, to continue?
No.
I thought
yes.
we did. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So we have a motion to continue.
Is this closed? We seconded.
Till the 21st. Till the, I'm sorry, to continue the meeting until May 12th.
Is the meeting closed to the public?
No.
No,
we're,
it is, we
no,
are not.
We're voting to.
To continue the hearing. Continue the hearing. Not.
Okay. Okay.
We are continuing the hearing because this is a public hearing.
Yeah.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor? Bill?
Aye.
How aye.
Saad aye.
Simon's aye.
Okay. So now we can continue with what we're doing. We need to do the minutes from.
Thank you for everyone's time.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. It was really helpful.
Four meetings a week.
I don't need to hang here anymore. I'm going to hang here so I don't get mugged.
Stay with me. Be all right.
I know. I didn't get any minutes.
There were some minutes. Yes.
I didn't get
a few months ago, I guess.
I'm all good.
Here.
What month was it? Was it October?
October 25th.
I thought so.
Like,
yeah, that was so our last meeting.
I missed
was
you guys.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I take it back. I do have them here. I'm sorry, Gayla.
That's okay.
Yep. They were
I lied.
In the, they were in the
it was
bureau.
A test. You passed.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. So, does anybody have any questions about the minutes?
No, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. As
second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
Any opposed?
You abstain.
Void abstain.
I wasn't here.
Okay, so, all right, we'll cover that later, what you and I talked about before in the beginning.
Well, don't you want to do both the minutes?
I've only got one in here.
Do we have a second set?
I thought we only had one.
I thought we only had one.
Did I give you two by accident?
I got October 28th and September 23rd.
No,
oh, that's probably because you didn't clear it out of your folder because you weren't here that meeting.
Yeah, I think it was just October we had it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a long time. So,
So is there any other business that comes before the board?
Boyd needs to be reappointed if he wants to be reappointed.
What was that?
Boyd, you have to be reappointed to the board.
Yeah, I'm going to ask to not be reappointed. I've served on this board for 20 years, and I think it's time to step down and turn it over to Dale.
Oh, man. She's just quitting, just like that.
Just
after
like that.
20 years.
Well, Boyd, I tell you, I wish it was like, you remember when we were first on the board, when someone left the board, we'd all go out to dinner and take them out to dinner.
Let's do that.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I move that we proceed to the Tuckaway Tavern.
So I'm going to decline the opportunity to re-enlist.
Wow.
When is your term up?
It's up.
A week ago.
A week ago.
Yeah.
Are you staying as selectman?
What's that?
Are you still staying as a selectman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
are you coming back as a consultant? Of course.
So that means now that we need to submit a letter to the selectman asking if the board is approving that we admit that
of course.
We...
Good.
Have Gayla as a member of our board.
Yes, right. It's about time.
So, So is there any objection to sending a letter requesting that Gail be appointed to the board?
No.
Can I be here anymore?
Oh, no, you can go.
Thanks, George.
No. What effect does that have, if any, on this meeting?
Well, she said it doesn't, because we haven't voted and she was here for the whole thing.
It's perfect.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But, she was here, you know, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she wasn't...
No wonder why you said, are you going to be here on Tuesday?
Thinking ahead.
Uh-huh. Okay. It was a plot. All right. Well, no, that would be great.
It's one of those things that somebody could get sticky about.
Sure.
Yes,
she was here
absolutely.
And fully participating. So,
yes, yeah. That's... And this is why I think it's important that, because Megan and I had this discussion, you remember that we had to approve having our members sit with us, because some boards don't. They sit in the audience, and you have to pass a motion to have the members sit with the board, because it helps them to see the process. It helps them to, they get to ask questions. It's not you're just coming out of nowhere and taking over. So, so if you would prepare.
But we should probably try to find a couple alternates, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We do. We do need some alternates. So.
Yeah.
Because Tony and I are, of course, Tony's older than I am, so.
Oh, gosh. Let's strike that from the record.
I didn't even write it down. Don't worry.
I'm older than everybody.
Well,
not by much.
What do you call much?
Well, I'm almost up there with you.
You got a way to go, Ron. Got a way to go. So anyway, if we've got nothing else to discuss, we can adjourn the meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Do we have any other things on the table for next month other than this case?
No, actually.
Okay.
I had someone ask about an application, but they missed the deadline.
Okay.
So that won't
be
till
good.
June.
Yep, if they get
very
it
good.
Into me.
Yeah.
I second adjourn.
Yeah. I think we're moving to adjourn.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Let the record show that Boyd Chivers' last motion was to get the heck out of here.